Nobody can compete with a baby. Anyway, we are so glad to be here. I'm John Marston, this is Sue, and we are have the privilege of being the founding pastors here, and we're so glad all of you are here with us. You want to say hi to somebody right around you? Anyway, so where was I? I was in Puerto Vallarta. I'm on the screen. Anyway, so we're going to give you a little report about our wonderful time we had in Puerto Vallarta in April. And before we do that, I'd like those that are that were part of that trip, if you would stand up if you're in the room here. Some of you are. Yeah, and then, yeah, you can give them a hand. Keep standing, please. And then others of you in the room have been to Puerto Vallarta in the past or maybe Mazatlan with us. So if you would be willing to stand up. Yeah, I know there's a few here. So anyway, we are so thankful for all of you who have gone to Mexico with us on different trips. And we're so thankful for all of you who have supported us with prayer and finances. It was interesting. This was, I think, the most well-resourced trip we have ever had. People have always been generous in supporting us, but it was over the top this year, which was wonderful because all the costs in Vallarta were higher, and we were able to buy 10 tables for the two Spanish-speaking churches, which they desperately needed. So thank you so much for your financial support, those of you who were involved in that, and for all of you for praying for us. We had people from 5 churches represented on the team, the bulk from River Heights, of course. And I think maybe in relation to that, we've always felt your prayers, but we felt, I think, a more robust sense of prayer support than ever. And that was awesome, because then we could do what we were able to do there. So Sue's going to give you a little bit of a report on that.
Okay. I forgot this first service. Out in the hall, we have a table set up. So team members will be hanging out by the table. There's a few pictures. And there's a little report you could pick up and take home with you if you'd like. On the screen, you see our dear friends Mario and Leti Santillan. And we first met them. They're the pastors of the work in Puerto Vallarta. We first met them in Mazatlan in 1995. They were part of the vineyard work there for several years. And then in 2007, they moved to Puerto Vallarta to plant a church. About a year into their church plant, which we heard about, we brought a team to Puerto Vallarta to see if we could offer some support. And we've experienced a beautiful partnership over these past 16 years. We consider ourselves sister churches who love and support each other and cheer each other on. La Mesa del Rey and Colonia del Villar is the first location that they began to minister in. Then they reached into Colonia Progreso and established the church La Cosecha. And then in 2019, they planted Grace Vineyard Vallarta in the Marina area, and that's their first English service that they have. And we're just so grateful to be part of what God's doing in Puerto Vallarta. Each of our team trips over the years involves lots of activities for kids. Mario and Letty's love for kids has opened so many doors for them over the years. And we've learned so much from them. I always come home just inspired to love our kids better as well. We love getting out into the neighborhoods when we get there to invite kids and families to VBS and to a big celebration party that they have at their Sunday evening service. It includes a special dinner for all. They love to eat together just like we do here. Miracles of Jesus was our VBS theme this year. Now, if you look closely at the picture on the top right, you might be able to see 4 friends carrying their crippled friend to Jesus. It was great fun. Something new this year was helping Mario and Letty and their team launch a second service at the Marina with bilingual worship and a message also in Spanish. They meet in the Holiday Inn Express, and typically, you know, it's always been in English, but now they want to reach out and try to draw in some of the Spanish-speaking local people that live more in the city. We had such a great team. It was beautiful to see our talents and personalities work so well together as we served with our friends. As we prepared ahead of time, each of the team members was asked to write a short story about a way that God had been at work in their lives. And we shared that with each other, helping us get to know each other better. And then several people shared their stories in different settings in Puerto Vallarta. And it's really amazing to see how God uses these experiences across cultures to bring encouragement and hope. You'll see that tree in the picture. Meeting under this tree in Colonia del Villar was the first place Mario and Letty began their ministry in 2007. Their first church building is across the street from this tree. Those of you that know Don Weber can ask how he played an interesting part in them securing that building. It was really special for us to meet under the tree again and to hear more stories and have an opportunity to pray for Mario and Letty and their work in Puerto Vallarta. We just want to thank you so much for sending us. Please stop by the table and we can give you some more information, also some Mexican candy. And I just want to say that your team represented you all well, and we are all together a part of what God's doing in this kingdom partnership.
Thank you, Sue. Yeah, it's been a delight for us over 16 years in Puerto Vallarta and 29 years in total, being able to serve in Mexico, Sue and I, and a variety of other people. I did mention that in this first service that there were times where I was not, like, super thrilled with how well I was doing in my life. Anybody ever, like, a little discouraged about how life's going? And then there were times where I thought, I wish I have more hope and dreams for the church than I'm seeing. So one of my strategies to deal with my own discouragement was to go to Mexico with the team, because God was doing so much in Mexico, and I would come back so filled up and be able to give more good stuff here. So I wasn't always at a low point when I went, but there were times where I really needed. Oops, I needed the boost. Okay, sorry. If you can find my paper there, thank you very much. Anyway, we saw a lot of wonderful things this year. We focused on healing. We're in the series right now at River Heights on the life of Joseph, and Don and Pete and Hopewell have done such a great job sharing how God worked through an ordinary person like Joseph to really rescue Israel, Egypt, and the surrounding nations from a great famine, and in the process changed Joseph's life. Now, when I've heard those stories, I thought, that's what happens in Mexico. We are able, by the grace of God, ordinary people using the gifts he's given us, to do really good things in Mexico, but we always feel like we come back more changed than anybody else. And so I want to encourage you, next April 22 to 29, those are our tentative dates. Easter's late next year. We'd love to have you be part of the team, so maybe think and pray about that. So we focused on miracles of Jesus and healing, and Mario and Letty are doing a healing service generally once a month there, because they're learning that if they practice healing the sick with the power of God, they grow in faith and compassion as well. And so we happened to be there, and we joined them in their healing service, both in the morning and the evening. And Jim Sabin had an experience, so he's going to come up and share a little story with you about that. So can you give Jim a hand? Jim and his daughter Haley have gone the last 2 years, and for me personally, it's been so much fun seeing the growth I've seen in both of their lives. So they're amazing people. Here's Jim.
Good morning. Not quite so nervous because I got to share first service, and it helps me out a little bit. But Sunday morning, we went to the English-speaking church, and John was speaking about what he's going to speak about today, about one of the miracles Jesus performed. And we've been studying, focusing a lot in church since the first of the year almost, about, you know, miracles, praying for people and things like that, you know. So John prepared us and said, okay, we're going to have a healing service Sunday morning, And if we're going to ask people to stand up, and if they want to be prayed for, you know, be ready to pray for those people around you. So I'm like, okay. And so John spoke, and it went, and he asked people to stand, and a couple next to me stood up, a man and wife, and John said, okay, we're going to pray for you. And so we stood up, and his name was Greg, and I went over and I said, okay, what can I pray for you for? And he says, I've got a heart condition, and he says, I always have pressure in my chest. You know, I can't take a deep breath, and it's just really a struggle for me. So I said, okay. And I said, can I put my hand on your chest? And he said, sure. So I put my hand on his chest and prayed, you know, basically a simple prayer and asked in Jesus' name that this pressure is gone. And he shakes his head and nothing. And I was like, okay. And I looked around and there wasn't anyone else around. So I said, well, do you mind if I pray again? And he said, sure. And so I put my hand and I said, you know, basically the same prayer again. And I get down and I go, how do you feel? And he's like, I think I feel something. And I'm like, really? And he goes, I don't have any pressure. And his wife was right there with his hand. She goes, you always have pressure. Are you sure? He goes, no, I really don't feel pressure. And I was kind of like, didn't know what to say. And I was like, well, praise God, I said. So he said, well, look, he says, give me your phone number. I'll send you a text if this is for real. Because when I walk around today, I'll know if something's really changed. And so Sunday went along and Monday was our day off. So we were at dinner and we're coming home, walking up to the hotel. I'm walking up the stairs late at night and my phone goes off I don't have service any other time but when I'm at the hotel, and I look and I've got a text message from Greg, and it says, hi Jim, I felt very good today, no chest pain at all, I think I have been healed, praise God and thank you again. I always want to make it clear that God did the healing. God did everything. I had no power in it. All I did was I was willing to just pray for the person. And sometimes that's all it takes.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. We've been learning here about our partnership with God and joining him in what he does. And we all know it's his power that heals and restores and frees. And we also know that he's called us to be good partners and do our part. And so that's what Jim was doing. He asked, can I pray for you? And then he prayed. And so he tried. When we had Jordan Singh from Hawaii here, vineyard pastor from Blue Water Mission, he talked about trying, being a community that tries. And the tries again. And so I'm so glad that Jim tried a second time and prayed. And we thank God for Greg and what's going on in his life and his wife's life. So we're going to have today's service is both a report about what we did in Vallarta, but because healing was at the center of everything we did, I asked Pete, could we have a healing service today? And he said, that would be great. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the passage we talked about in Vallarta. And then I'm just going to give you the opportunity, if you need healing in any part of your life, in your body, your emotions, excuse me, maybe in your thoughts, maybe you have some runaway thoughts that you just can't seem to get free of, maybe some relational healing in your own life or family or work or whatever, we're just going to invite you to stand up and we're just going to pray for you and see if God would move in power here. And so the story we're going to look at is from Mark 2. Now, I get really encouraged when I hear Jim's story. Do you get encouraged from hearing stories of God working with real people like us? I do. Well, that's what the Bible's all about. The great story of the Bible is how God's come personally to rescue us and change our lives and change the world through us. And then all these little stories support that. So here's one. And so we're going to look at Mark 2. And when Jordan Tseng was with us, he talked about the most important factor in his opinion for healing is power. Not technique. Certainly there are kinder or less kind ways to pray for people. Let's choose the more kind ways, okay? But it's power that we need. And so he mentions there are four elements that usually work together well to increase power and increase the opportunity for healing. One is faith, one is authority, one is giftings, and the fourth one is consecration. And so as I read this story from Mark 2, I'm going to encourage you, look for those elements and see what you see, okay? All right, start with Mark 2, 1-1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, Jesus had been traveling all around Galilee, healing, the Bible says, every kind of sickness and disease, and breaking the power of dark, evil spirits that were tormenting people. So he returns several days later, and the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived, carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Now, we've learned in Vallarta when we do these stories, they work way better if we ask the kids to act them out. They're way more involved. And so Mario picked four relatively strong young people and one smaller child to be the one carried on the mat. And we were trying to think about how to do this, and I said, well, you know, we could like get ladders and we could like lower him down. And my whole team said, no, that's not a good idea. We're not trying to produce needs for healing. So anyway, what we did was we had all of the kids gather around really tight, and there were generally 50 to 60 kids in the VBSs. And so in this story, they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. All right, I'm going to stop there. We'll read the rest of it in a minute. But what element do you see evident here in this part of the story? What do you notice? What did Jesus notice? He noticed faith, right? Seeing their faith. Now, what did he see? Well, he saw their action, because faith is always active. Faith is always doing something. James says faith without any works, it's actually dead. It's not really functioning. So faith does things. And so here, their friends brought their friend to Jesus. Now, they loved him so much, they wanted to see him healed. Paul tells us in Galatians that faith works by love. It's love that propels us. Okay. So they must have heard stories about Jesus healing many people, including people who were paralyzed. So maybe they thought, if we could just get our friend to Jesus, he could be healed. Do you have any friends that you'd like to see healed? Maybe you would need to see healing for your own life. It's wonderful to have good friends who care about us, isn't it? I am so glad for the people that prayed for me and shared their story of Jesus with me. Aren't you glad for those who have helped you come to Jesus, offer your life to Jesus? I certainly hope you're making some good friends here at River Heights. There are many reasons people come to churches, but there's usually only a few reasons why they stay. One of those is they make some friends. Two is they find a way to serve in a meaningful way, be part of the community. I hope that's happening for you here. But these friends had a big problem. They couldn't get in the house because so many people wanted to hear Jesus and be helped by him. So in our VBS, we just had all of these kids gather in a circle around Jesus. And so the four stronger people bringing their buddy, couldn't get in. They had to elbow their way into Jesus, which they all really enjoyed, elbowing their way and making a way to get their friend to Jesus. So these friends found a ladder, climbed up on the roof, dug through the roof. Now, the roof was a grass roof, and I suspect that they probably agreed to repair the roof later. We don't know exactly whose house. Some scholars think it was Jesus' house. Others think it was Peter's house. We don't really know. But anyway, so there's Jesus preaching away, and all the dirt and the grass begins to fall in. Now, you think, was Jesus upset when the grass and the dirt were falling and interrupting him. I tell you, I'd be a little distracted if the ceiling began to fall in on me. And you probably would too, right? We'd all be moving. But Jesus wasn't. He didn't miss a beat. Because I think Jesus was used to being interrupted. If you want a little project, read the gospel accounts of Jesus doing miracles. And almost all of them, Jesus is on the way to go somewhere else. And somebody interrupts him. You know, like touches the back of his garment. Or like Bartimaeus says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, what does Jesus do? He stops. He's willing to be interrupted because he's open to their cries for help. Do you know he's open to your cries for help? He wants to touch your life and help you and encourage you, heal you, free you. Let's read on. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. I kind of think maybe Jesus smiles to himself. You're right. That's what I'm doing. Anyway, Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, well, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you. Didn't we sing in the song earlier, you know, God proves himself, you're proven. Jesus is willing to prove himself. So I'll prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. And he turns to the paralyzed man and he said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up. I don't know. You know, this might have been the first time this guy had ever jumped in his life. Wouldn't that be amazing? You know, your friends carry you in. They let you down. That might have been a little nerve-wracking. You're not going to drop me, are you? And then all of a sudden, he can jump up and pick up his mat and go home. And I suspect the next day or weekdays, he began to look for work because he could now work. He could contribute to their community in a deeper way. What an awesome thing. The crowd went crazy and praised God. So it's interesting. Often Jesus asked people to do things to express their faith. You know, like the blind guy, he put mud on his eyes and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he did something. Other people, as they were walking, they were healed. So when we pray for you today, we might ask you, say your shoulder is not working well and you can't like lift your arm up very much, which I've had at times, and people pray for you, they might ask you, can you move your shoulder? And it's often in the moving of it that you're healed. Remember the story? Jesus was in the synagogue and there was a man with a withered arm, like a paralyzed arm, and Jesus says these like strange words, stretch out your arm. And I think if I'm that guy, like, I'd like to. But he does. So there's some wonderful mystery as we respond to Jesus, power actually is released. All right. A few years ago, we were in Boston at a Vineyard Church, and I was having trouble with my left hand. It was weak. I couldn't quite squeeze things, and I was a little nervous. So we were at this church. And after the end of their worship, they had shared words for healing. And they said, somebody's got a left hand that's not working quite right. You don't have the strength. You can't quite squeeze things. I turned to Sue and I said, can you believe it? Somebody else has got a problem with their left hand. I was totally serious. And she just looked at me like, excuse me, could be you. I said, oh, I'm not always the fastest to pick up on these things. So anyway, I go to get prayer, and it was a holiday weekend, so they were short-staffed, and so they had a young man, and I would not necessarily do this, but they did. They had prayer trainee on his badge, and so I come to him, and he's like the kindest, maybe 17, 18, and he just says, he's nervous, he says, I've never done this before, but I'm willing to give it a go. Are you? And I said, well, I need some help, sure. And so I put my hand out. He touches my hand. He starts praying. And he's so nervous. He's just like jittery while he's praying. Anyway, my hand starts tingling. It starts getting warm. And I feel this pulsing. And I start squeezing it. And I said, I think it's getting better. And he starts hopping. It is. He was so excited. And I was really excited for him and for myself. Anyway, and my hand was healed. He said, test it out. Can you grab this? And so I did. It was amazing. All right. So Jesus saw their faith, and then he used authority. He used authority in a couple ways. He forgave the guy's sins, and then he healed him. He told him to stand up, and he did. We are learning to use the authority that Jesus has given us. That's what Jim was doing. Now, it's Jesus' authority. It's Jesus' power. We all know that, right? I don't pray for healing in my name. In the name of John Marston, be healed. No. Never have, never will. That wouldn't do anything. You wouldn't want me to. But Jesus has said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go make disciples. He's authorizing us. He's giving us authority. And we need to use it. Now, so often I've found myself praying, oh, Jesus, would you use your authority and help this person? To which I often find Jesus saying, excuse me? I've given you the authority. Would you speak words of forgiveness to them? Would you speak freedom to them? Would you bless them with healing? Really? Yes, really. And I find Jesus to be wonderfully kind and relentless. He just so wants us involved. Like, I've coached a lot of sports, and coaching is wonderful, challenging, and wonderful. But you know, as a coach, I've never made one basket for my team. Who makes the baskets? My players. Jesus is a great coach, but he wants you playing. He wants you doing this stuff with his power, with his wisdom, with his love, with everything he'll give you, but he wants you doing it. Okay, so we see faith. We see authority here. We see forgiveness. We see gifts of the Spirit, like healing, like miracles, like gift of faith, like gift of wisdom. So Jesus, in the gift of wisdom, he knew what the religious leaders were thinking, and so he spoke out. Well, you know, why are you wondering this? You know, I'll prove to you I have authority, and he heals the man. But he also knew, I think, the man's deepest need. He didn't ignore the need for healing. I mean, he healed the guy, right? But he spoke first forgiveness, because he knew this man needed to know he was forgiven, accepted, and clean. Jesus gave his life so you and I could be fully forgiven for all the wrong things we've ever thought, said, done, everything. He wants you and I thoroughly clean, thoroughly at peace with him. He doesn't want anything in the way of our relationship with him. So we see faith, we see authority, we see giftings, and we see consecration. What does that mean to you? Well, to me it means I make space for Jesus in my life. I consistently see him trying to make space. So consecration can relate to sacrifice. Like some of you fast, like you just don't eat food, but you're making the space so you can pray and connect with God that way. That's a sacrifice. That releases power. So these four people, they made space in their schedules to bring their friend to Jesus. Jesus made space in his life to touch their friend and speak to him. In fact, Jesus says, I only do the things I see my Father doing. So as you and I make, I would say, consistent commitments, we give space to Jesus in our lives on a consistent basis, we will see more things happen. All right, so as faith, giftings, authority, and consecration are expressed here, there was real power. This man was both forgiven and healed. Now, when I think of healing and forgiveness, I think about dislocation. Any of you ever had dislocated anything? A finger, an elbow, a shoulder, a knee? You know, it hurts like crazy when something's out of joint, right? Years ago, we were on our way to Florida to have a trip at Disney World, and we had packed up. All the kids were in the car, and I decided I needed to do one more pass through the house to make sure all the lights were off. I'm a little thorough about turning lights off, so I was checking. And we were leaving our dog at home, and our neighbor was going to take care of him. I went down to the basement, and he was nervous, and he ran under my feet and kind of knocked me down, and I kicked my leg out. I was kind of mad, and I dislocated my knee. I'm laying on the basement floor, hurting. We have a clutch car, and we have Sue and I are the only drivers. We're going to Florida, and I think this is terrible. And so I'm starting to confess my sins. I shouldn't have been upset with my dog. I'm even making up sins to confess. Not that I had to. I just looked, oh, if you've ever helped me, help me now. Sue comes in and says, where are you? I thought I'm in the basement. What are you doing down there? I'm lying on the floor. And so she comes down. So what happened? I said, I was unkinder to Luther. Sorry, that's our dog's name. And I think my knee's out of joint. And so she just puts her hand on my knee and prays with a gift that she has. And my knee went right back into joint. It was amazing. It's really maybe the only time I've ever been instantly and immediately healed. And I'm just stunned. And she says, could you get up? We're trying to get to Florida. All the kids are waiting in the car. I said, yes, yes, yes. So God doesn't want us dislocated, whether it's in our body or spiritually with him. He wants us really connected. And so if you have any questions or any, like, you're not sure you're fully forgiven, I want to give you an opportunity to pray with me today. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm Mr. Clumsy today. I'm going to pray three simple words. Sorry, please. Thank you. I either should stand still and not walk, or walk more carefully, right? Okay, but I'm going to pray, and you can just echo this in your heart as I pray. Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life and change me for the better. I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me for them. Take control of my life and give me the power to live a new life. Thank you for hearing my prayer and taking charge of my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, would you mind just waving at me, raising your hand? I want to say a blessing over you, Lord. We thank you that your goal is that we're fully forgiven. We don't have to carry any of this. You carried it for us. We thank you for that. I just bless you, and I speak freedom, freedom, freedom to you. And now, forgiveness is part of healing. I think for this guy, healing and forgiveness were kind of connected. Sometimes that's the case when you have physical things going on wrong. You've either done some things that are difficult, or people have done bad things to you, and it results in things not working well in your body or your mind or your emotions. So just have that in mind. But we would love to pray for healing now. So if you need healing in any part of your life, in your body, something that's not working quite right the way you need it, or maybe your thoughts are bugging you, or maybe your emotions, you've been hurt and wounded in your emotions, or maybe there's a relationship at home or at work or with friends. If you need healing in any area, would you be willing to just stand up right where you are? We'd love to pray for you. If you need healing in any part of your life, wow, this is great. There's such a need for healing in our world. We need healing. All right, so I'd love the worship folks to come back up now and be ready to lead the rest of this part. We're going to pray simply. If you need healing and you can't stand, please stand. But if you can't stand, just wave, and we'll pray for you in your seat. Right, way to go. Now, I'd like you to look around. We're going to pray simple prayers. Just those of you that are around them, you're all deputized to pray, okay? And just ask them, well, what do you need healing for? And if they say, oh, it's maybe you've got pressure in your heart, like Jim talked about, I need some, then ask permission to put your hand on their shoulder or over their heart. Maybe you've got hand issues like I did, or maybe joint pain. I don't know what it may be for you, but whatever it is, just ask those of you who are going to pray now, if you'd look around and then go find somebody, stand up right by somebody and ask them, how could I pray for you? And then begin to pray, and we'll pray simple prayers with authority, like in the name of Jesus, be healed. You can specify shoulder be healed, heart be healed. Some of you got digestive challenges going on. You can pray digestion be healed. Okay, let's do that right now. Okay, you're all deputized, so if you find those people right around you and ask their permission, and we'll pray for a little bit. They're going to lead us in some music, and we'll give you a little chance to give us any feedback. Lord, we ask for your power now and the gifts of your Spirit to come. So there are people that need prayer, so if you would, you know, it might take a while, but please stay with us. People will get to you. There's probably more people that need prayer than are able to give right now. So, Lord, we just speak healing in the name of Jesus to whatever is not working right in these dear people's lives. Healing in their bodies, healing in their minds, healing in their emotions. Those that have been treated badly, those that have been accused of things that are not true, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of those accusations. And we ask, Holy Spirit, please come. Comfort our friends. Bring healing, freedom in their thoughts. Some of you have had a real hard time sleeping. You just can't seem to turn your mind quiet. But Lord, we ask you to touch our minds. We ask you to touch our minds. We speak peace, peace, peace. Some of you have been